another fascinating conversation.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are we ready for Representative Roper's bill?
I don't think he is.
He's not here to defend himself, but...
Let's send it to a subcommittee.
Send it to a subcommittee. I'm sure I'd recommend it go to a subcommittee.
That'll teach him to leave the table.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, without further delay, we have before us House Bill 27, Licensed Home Inspectors. And we have Ms. Janet Seitz, who is with the Honorable Norman Roper, who will present this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Janet Seitz, and I'm a member of Representative Roper's staff. House Bill 27 is a bill that those of you who were on the Labor and Commerce Committee last year will recognize. It's a bill that sets up a system for licensing home inspectors. It sets up standards for the board, allows the board to set up professional standards, requires licensure with education, just a typical licensing board to provide consumer protection. Currently, anyone right now can go get a business license and hold themselves out as a home inspector. And this is what Representative Roper is concerned about, that people who are not qualified are doing home inspectors. Consumers are relying on them, and there are some problems that are occurring in the industry. Representative Roper originally introduced this bill at the request of the real estate industry and people who are active home inspectors. And they helped us develop the bill. I can't say that everybody's 100% happy with it, but they did help us in developing the bill. And I'd like to keep my opening remarks short because I understand there's some people who want to testify. Representative Roper does have a draft committee substitute that was presented, dropped off by all the members' office yesterday. These are suggestions, incorporate suggestions at Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and the legislative drafter to make the bill clearer and easier for AHFC to work with.
Do all the members have the draft CS?
It's the, I believe it is the F version, Madam Chairman.
I have the F version.
Would you like to? Madam Chair, then, for the record, then I would move that we adopt the F version as the working document.
Okay, so we have before us CS for House Bill number 27, F version, Lauterbach, dated 1/30/01. And before Ms. Seitz leaves the table, are there any questions from the committee? Representative Helker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Janet, why is the bill structured where after July 1st, 2002, the AHFC representative will be a non-voting member?
Madam Chairman, Representative Halko, that was actually a suggestion of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. They wanted to have the executive director as a voting member during the transitional period so that the executive director could lend his expertise, his or her expertise, to the board, and then after that serve just as an ex officio non-voting member on the board.
Thank you.
Representative Cox?
No.
Further questions? Okay, we do have several individuals online, and we don't have a printout, so it looks like we've got Seitz and Matsue, Kenai, Kotzebue, Homer, Fairbanks, no Anchorage.
No Anchorage.
In Kotzebue, we have some. Oh, we have an individual in Kotzebue, but he does not wish to testify.
And Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Pott.
Just a question for either Janet or sponsor. Was the committee substitute forwarded on to those locations?
Yes.
Because there is a motion pending, that is to adopt the committee substitute as the working document, and if we're not going to be addressing this, then I'll put it aside and we'll address the original bill.
It was forwarded to the LAR, right?
Yes. Okay. So everybody who is planning on testifying should have it at those sites. And I'm not anticipating that we're going to get any more sites online, so there is a motion to adopt the committee substitute. Is there any objection to adopting the committee substitute? Not seeing none, it is adopted. What I would like to do is take the testimony from the individuals who are currently online, and we'll start with Matsue, William, and I'm sorry, I can't read the last name. Brew? Mr. Brew?
Good morning, or good afternoon, Madam Chairman. This is William Brew. I am an owner of an inspection firm here in the Matsu Valley. I'm an ICBO, Certified Combination Dwelling Inspector, a certified energy rater for the state of Alaska. I also do home inspections as a portion of my business. I have three basic questions that that the new draft posed to me, and I'd like to present them to the committee and ask for possible explanation on those. First one, again, the definition of a home inspector as it's defined in this bill does not differentiate between an inspector that is certified by a national organization to inspect to a set of standards on new construction, specifically building codes. The level that this individual has to obtain prior to going out and actually being able to certify to Alaska Housing or to the world that a home has met the inspection standards is much greater than that of a home inspector who is going out looking at existing homes, homes that have been lived in, and is providing an opinion of condition to a potential buyer. I would like to see the bill make a more distinctive definition for home inspector and also an additional definition in it for a certified inspector who does specific code inspections on new construction. The second question I have is for basically this is goes to pages 11, lines 30, 31, and page 12, lines 1 and 2 in the committee substitute. I would like to understand how that deletion protects the consumer. By deleting that particular provision of that existing statute, in my opinion, it allows the builder to go out and find anybody with, quote, a business license who holds himself out to be a home inspector to do inspections on a new construction, code compliance inspections, when in fact they are not certified by any national agency in order to do so. The one other aspect I'd like to bring out to the committee's attention is that, and I'd like to take a quick look and see if I can find this, in the substitutions, basically we're talking about page 9, lines 26 and 27. In order for me to submit energy rating to Alaska Housing for certification or for certification of a home, I had to have gone through a particular education program provided by one or more agencies of which Alaska Housing approved of as an instruction program. My abilities had to be checked and certified by an agency. I had to literally go out and physically perform a series of energy ratings and be qualified through that method, and then final approval by letter from Alaska Housing. If that is not a certification process, I don't know what is. And if this goes back to the paragraph 3 of the memorandum that is attached to the committee substitute, that where the executive director of Alaska, or excuse me, the exemption is paragraph 4, the exemption listed on page 9, that indicates that the energy rater is not a certified energy rater. And other than those questions, Madam Chairman, I would like the committee to understand that some of these provisions, if they are implemented, especially those that remove the ICBO requirement, will basically take away approximately 60% of my business. And I will be here to testify, and if anybody on the committee has any questions they wish to ask of me, I'm perfectly willing to see what I can do for an answer.
Thank you, Mr. Brew. Representative Roper, do you want to respond to?
Yeah, I'll try to respond to Bill's concerns. I think Bill, and one of the some of the things you brought up have to do with the way the drafter has recommended the bill be drafted, and I think all I need to do is assure you that none of your fears are there. In the first instance, the ICBO, the distinctions between the two of new home construction and existing home construction are really part of the provisional transition agreements of getting a license, and then it becomes a matter for the board to establish the standards, as I recall, between the new and home and the existing construction. And secondly, the language in section 5, page 11, that was in the former bill, and that was a request of the Alaska Housing Finance, and you have to refer back, I believe, to section 4 in front of it that puts in the home inspection licensee in place, and there's a delayed effective date. It's kind of complicated because section 5 doesn't take effect until after section 4 and we have the inspectors licensed. Is that... And that method was used in the bill from last year, so.
I understand what you're saying, Representative Roberg, but I don't see that specifically in this bill.
Well, it's just, like, if you look at, let's see here, look on page 14, lines 22, says section 12. So section 5 of this act takes effect on January 1, 2003.
Right.
That's the delayed effective date for that section to take place. In other words, the new licensure of the inspectors, both the new and the existing, would have been implemented by the new board by that time. It's required by law to have that in the bill to be done. I know it becomes confusing when you read the bill. I appreciate that. So what happens is section 4 is in place. And section 5 comes into place too. So. Does that answer that question?
It does, but
we'll make a note of that, but it's supposed to do that, so that's what it does. And the situation, you mentioned the exemptions, this is the same thing we changed the committee substitute because what we've done there is exempt. It was your objection the fact that we've exempted from this bill architects and engineers.
No.
Okay, but that's okay. That's all we've done there with that. So because I'm not sure what your problem was in your third point.
My third point, sir, was basically Alaska Housing's statement in the memorandum and this would be on page 2 of the memorandum, paragraph 5, where it says that the exemption listed in paragraph 8, page 9, is being written according to AHFC. There is no state certification program for energy raters.
Oh, yeah, right. There isn't.
Well, as I described in my testimony, sir.
You were talking about the ICBO type inspectors, weren't you, Bill?
No, I was talking about energy raters.
Oh.
Different animal. Completely different animal. An energy rater has to go through a lengthy process that basically has been approved and established by Alaska Housing in order to be able to submit to Alaska Housing an energy rating that's certifiable. Now, if this process that I have to go through or anybody nowadays has to go through to become an energy rater is not a certification process, I have a hard time defining what a certification process is.
Excuse me, through the chair. Bill, all that section does is exempt energy raters. I don't care whether they're certified or not. So it doesn't really affect the bill. Now, if you have an extra grind with Alaska Housing about whether you should be certified or not, that's a whole different issue.
Right, but my point, I think, is, Representative Wilberg and Madam Chairman, is that energy raters are, by all definitions, an inspector and a technician that certifies and inspects, or inspects and certifies in that order, a new home or an existing home that it meets certain standards within the state of Alaska. And I deeply feel that if we are going to require licensure of home inspectors and ICBO inspectors, then energy raters should be included in that process, along with other inspectors within the state of Alaska that are defined as specialty inspectors. They have specific categories and areas where they perform inspections. If this is in truth a consumer protection bill, then the consumer needs to be considered in who is encompassed in this bill.
Madam Chair, I've had this discussion with Mr. Brew before, and there's a judgmental question here about what he brings up. I mean, I don't really necessarily deny that those people should be in some way regulated, but I think it just goes beyond what the scope of the bill is, and as the author of the bill, I thought it would corral or bring too many people under the aegis of this new board that didn't necessarily qualify to be there. I think Mr. Brew is one of the unique people. It's multi-talented. I think he's certified and does all three of these types of different things. That is to say, new homes, existing homes, and energy rating. But certainly something the committee might discuss, but I'm not sure. It's something I, as a matter of judgment, decided that it would expand the bill beyond the scope of what I was trying to get at.
Mr. Brew, did Representative Roper answer all of the questions or the 3 areas of concern for you?
Yes, ma'am, he did. We will be working together, I'm sure, through the process to maybe make some changes to this bill as it goes along.
That's fine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Bill, this is Norman Rookberg.
Yes, sir.
You've been involved in this process now, and this is for 3 years or so since we started working on this bill. All things considered, do you support the concept of this legislation, if you can be satisfied with the technical aspects that you bring forward?
I am satisfied with the concept of licensure of inspectors in the state of Alaska. I do have some, I don't want to say concerns, they're not concerns, but I do have a quandary as to how this will affect bush communities and the ability of Alaska Housing and others to finance properties in bush communities.
I hear you, and I share your concerns, and Mr. Bitney from the Alaska Housing is here in the committee room, so we will continue to focus on that issue because I agree with you.
Thank you, Mr. Brew.
You're welcome, Madam Chairman.
Let's go to Kenai. Again, I'm not sure if I'm reading the scribbles here. It looks like Barb Nord.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm Barb Nord, and I'm with the Industry Issues. I'm the Industry Issues Chair for the Kenai Peninsula Association of Realtors here. And I know that you all have heard this concern before, so we are wholeheartedly in agreement with the concept of licensing home inspectors. We feel that Alaska Housing is not the only financing corporation around, and we feel that this act is just related to Alaska Housing loans. So there's our concern there. We have a couple other concerns in the work draft F, and one of them being on page 7 in section, let's go with the line 22. I believe before in HB 207, that was 1 year. And also on page 8, line 11, I also believe that that was 1 year too. And I was wondering what had changed to make that 180 days. And I have one other concern, and that is on page 10, section 3, line 6, under home inspection, interior plumbing and electrical systems. So most of the plumbing is in homes and buildings on the interior. There is always plumbing that is on the outside along with other electrical on the outside of homes. So I'm just wondering how that would cover if the whole house is not covered or the whole fourplex is not covered or duplex or whatever. This is going to, whatever the home inspection is supposed to cover, if the exterior is not covered, that is an indication that the exterior will not be covered if there are defects from the plumbing and heating. And those are my concerns.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rupert.
Ms. Nord, I'm not sure I understand your third point here. Is there a word or something here that excludes the... the word interior in sub B, I see. Yeah. Well, that's probably a good point.
Further questions of Ms. Nord?
I would like to comment on the 1 year versus 180 days. This is a concept of the liability that might accrue to a report by the inspector, and it's the whole concept of how long this report's valid. This is a legal issue. It's been debated and does have a level of controversy. One of the reasons we're doing this legislation is because the standards of practice and what happens. In most situations, a buyer of a home will retain the services of a home inspector prior to making an offer of purchase. Or they make an offer and then they'll, part of the contingencies would be having a home inspection done. And therefore, what the attempt here is legislatively is to establish a fiduciary or relationship between the inspector and the client, and therefore the person paying for the report and the provisions of the bill provide that has exclusive control over that report. That client, that purchaser of the report from the home inspector has the dominion over it and can give it to lenders, give it to the seller of the home if he wants to bargain for upgrades or repairs and so forth. In the past, one of the problems right now is that report's being handed around to various people. It's like somebody gets a hold of a report and they go to a copy machine, copy it off and send it off to the lender or send it down the street, and this thing gets spread all over the place. And in fact, that is a report that's between the client and the person who pays for it. So the client should do that. But then, and because what's happening now, there has been lawsuits filed and claims made against home inspectors from people that have copies of the report, and they don't even know how they got a copy of them. If they claim that they DFT'd a deal fell through or blew a deal apart because they saw a report and they weren't authorized to do it. So there's some concerns there, and this bill does control that flow. But the point in fact is that a home inspection, particularly in a northern climate like Alaska, is a snapshot of an improvement. That home, that building, is that day when that person, that inspector, made that report, the condition thereof. And as you go through a seasonality here, particularly in the wintertime, you can have a pretty substantial differential. You can have great roof damage if you have a shingle-type roof and have freezing build up at the eaves and the tile come apart, foundation problems, other problems, heating unit boiler problems. Those things happen, and as those things happen, the condition of the building changes over time. So the big debate has been, how long should that report be valid for? And so in the bill we had before us, before we looked at 1 year, and I decided that, you know, basically looking at a seasonal conditions here, if you can get through a winter with the report, you're lucky. And I think in fairness to the inspector, in terms of their any liabilities that might attach to that report, they should be limited. And the arguments have been on the other side that, well, the statute of repose and statute of limitations for other bringing liability actions on the other side, there are some, many of them are 6 years here in the state. But the home inspectors didn't design the home. They just inspected it one day. And that was the condition they found the home in one day. And so to make that report valid, a report that's done in October, to make that valid in the next May is not, I don't think, fair. And that's where we got to that.
Go ahead, Representative.
Just on that point. So if I'm understanding you correctly, if I'm buying a house,
right.
It's really my responsibility to have it inspected before I close the deal. So if I'm somehow handed a report that was done 8 months ago on that same house, first off, I don't know how I'd get a hold of that report, but let's say the realtor gave it to me. Wouldn't I still, as a responsible home buyer, want to have my own opinion done? I mean, wouldn't I want to, I mean, I'm not quite sure I understand the problem there, because from a responsible homeowner or home buyer's standpoint, I'd want to have, instead of accepting somebody's words that they were given me, I'd want to contact my own inspector and have them come in and do it.
Well, there's been testimony in, of course, the history of this bill that is reports that are a couple of years old have been used as leverage and or causes of action against home inspectors. You know, that on just common sense to me says that's not fair. But they've been used, and that's what we're trying to do, is cut off their liability. These reports are like $350. I mean, because there's a defect in the home that occurs later, the homeowner who bought a home recently is going to look for somebody to try to sue. And one reason we're involved in this and whole issue is this the cost and liability shift from one profession to another. You know, it's the disgruntled home buyer that thinks that he got a bad deal. He's looking for a pocket, and because home inspectors became a part of the industry in the urban areas only in the last few years, it's a growing and newer phenomenon in business there. And in your situation, Representative Halcrow, if I were a seller of a home, I mean, I think I would have a home inspection done and provide it to the buyer. But if I was the buyer, I'd hire my own home inspector. For $350, I mean, you know, who's on first here? And so, but the point here and the question brought up down there was, you know, why can't those inspection reports last longer? And frankly, in some instances, realtors might advise people to get home inspections and, well, to make it longer, the listing might last longer. I won't be able to sell it in 6 months. Then I'll have to have another inspection. Well, good, maybe they should. It's been sitting there maybe vacant for 6 months, and things happen to vacant homes more than occupied homes. So, and I think there's also a concern about reliability shifting too that comes into play there. But that's enough said on that, unless there's any questions on it.
Just a quick follow-up. Then wouldn't it be prudent on our behalf to also incorporate the realtor, you know, in this kind of circle of liability? I mean, if I'm selling you a home, you know, and I'm either providing you with this report or suggesting somebody who may or may not be qualified to give an accurate home inspection, shouldn't the realtor be just as liable as the home inspector?
Why should the realtor be liable at all? He doesn't do the work of the home inspector.
Understood, but they obviously have a vested interest in the sale of the home, not to mention the fact that if they provide you with the report, if you're buying a home and I'm the realtor and I give you a report and say, here, this was done on this house 6 months ago, I should be just as liable as the guy who did it.
Right, that's why we're making the chain of transfer of the report itself a part of a subject to law here. You know, if you're the realtor, you shouldn't be handing out reports unless you have written consent of whoever paid for the report.
What I'd like to do.
But why would liability attach?
Yeah, right. Okay. Is to take the testimony of
individuals, right.
And then we'll have an opportunity to kind of hash over some of these points, because it is an interesting issue, and I think worthy of more discussion. Ms. Nora, did you have anything further that you wanted to add to the committee?
No, and I thank you, Representative Roseberg. I did have one other thing. Actually, the 20-year status are on page 7 2022 is more what I was getting to, that I thought that would be better to have that report there, because a lot of times the homebuyer does not know, and it may be months, but maybe years afterwards before he discovers the defect that a home inspector should have visually caught on that particular day that he had done that inspection. And being a realtor myself, I've had that experience happen more than once. So with that, I'll thank you all very much, and let Mr. Johnson speak.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Mr. Ron Johnson there in Kenai.
Hi there. It's Ron Johnson, Kenai. I'm a broker representing myself. I sent in a letter earlier to Mr. Wolfer's office, and he did, Representative Wolfer did answer the letter. So what I do, what I've done now is I'll go from top to bottom as quick as I can with some concerns that I addressed before, some that I haven't. If I read the title for the act, and I'm going to do inspections for FHA loans, I don't think this bill applies to me at all, because it says for residential loans purchased or approved by Atlantic Housing Finance. In other words, if I get just a straight conventional loan or an FHA loan, this bill doesn't affect me. That's the way I read it. On page two, it took me quite a while reading this thing over and over again to get smart enough to find out that there's a licensed home inspector and there's a registered associate home inspector. But throughout the bill, it kind of alludes to the associate home inspector being kind of licensed as well. It took me a little while to get that put together. In my original letter of recommendation, I recommended that we add the associate home inspector to the definitions. I say that again because I think it's real necessary that the associate be specifically addressed as registered, not licensed, if that's the, matter. If you read page 2, article 2, the licensure, if you read it, item under item B, number 1 and number 2, I can make the assumption that the associate home inspector is not licensed, but it does not specifically, well, maybe it does allude that he is registered with the board. So, okay, maybe I'm wrong on that one. On page 5, under line 8, specifically addresses licensed or registered. It seems to me that the name of the business or the business would be the one that would be we have to identify with rather than the individual. And in the part that I brought up in the letter that I sent, I'm not sure you have a copy, where I questioned if a corporation or a real estate office had for example, franchise, and we chose to eliminate our licensed home inspector, what happens to the associates under him? And the answer could be that the associates would go along with the license, or you could replace the license. I'm not sure that's really addressed. My question really goes to the fact that the bills and the checks and the payments are made from the company or business name or corporation, whatever it is. Consequently, I think we would have a legal trust, but the Real Estate Commission has not really addressed this as well. On to page 7, under line 19, section 857A, we were just discussing the 180 days so long. I think the committee should consider just deleting that whole section. If we leave it out in the open, if there's a complaint, let the courts decide it. I think that based on what I think I know, that could be construed as under statute of frauds, and the 180 days won't apply anyway. The 180 days, excuse me, I think I perceive that to be, if we're going to limit it, that it should be a full seasonal cycle, which is a year. On page number 8, line number 4, item 3, the offer, it's prohibited to offer or deliver compensation, da 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 da. I think that would be a violation of fair trade, as I addressed in my letter. I think that under the definitions, line on page 10, line 14, item number 4 is home inspector. If you add to that, licensed home inspector means da da da. And then under that, change 5 to 6 and put 5 as a registered associate home inspector. I think that would help. And finally, I'll jump on Sheriff Barb's bandwagon relative to Section 4 and Section 5. It seems to me that if we take the Alaska Housing Finance out of the title, which opens it up to any kind of financing, then Section 4 and Section 5 easily be deleted. And in final, I can't see the logic in having the executive director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation on the board of the home inspectors. And that is all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. You moved kind of quickly through your items, and I understand that you provided Representative Roper with a copy of some of your concerns.
If I could just real quickly go through them.
We should just have a fax copy sent to the committee as well.
I think I can handle most of the questions.
Okay, but Mr. Johnson, if you wouldn't mind just faxing a copy to the committee, I'd appreciate it.
We can do that.
Thank you. Representative
Roper. Yeah, very quickly, Ron. The HFC and the title is regarding the ICBO new home inspectors outside jurisdictions which have their own. And they're in there. Under the and associate home inspectors are not licensed. And as I replied to you in the letter regarding corporations or businesses being licensed, they're not. An individual has to be licensed. So if you have a home inspection business that's incorporated, it's the principal licensee under which the associates work under. So it's only in the area of engineering that we allow a corporation to be licensed in the state of Alaska. It's the individual, just like a broker. The 180 days is open to argument, and to answer your fair trade question, the answer is yes. If you do those things, you are specifically in violation of the Fair Trade Practices Act and can be prosecuted. And that answers them all.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Appreciate your testimony. We have in Kotzebue Sandy Huss. Are you interested in testifying, or are you just on the line to listen?
No, I'm just here to listen.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Huss. We'll move to Homer then, Mr. Ted Veal.
Yeah,
Mr. Veal, can you hear us?
Madam President, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It was a little bit broken up at first, but we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay.
If you could identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, I'm Tim Veal, and I'm a home inspector energy rater, pretty much performing the same functions as Mr. Bill Brew described. We just received this latest copy here at about 15 minutes after the hour, so I haven't been able to review the changes and whatever that are before us at this time, so I'm not really prepared to address any of the issues at this time.
Okay, well, Mr. Veal, if you just want to continue listening in, perhaps you'll have comments later. Representative Roper.
Well, Mr. Veal, thanks for coming. Your interest... you support or do you suppose oppose the concept of regulating home inspectors?
At the present time, I'm not aware of the difficulties that has required or that has caused people to feel of the necessity for this legislation. And so at the present time, I have some reservations about the passage of this and the incurrence of more paperwork and costs. That will be resulted to the inspectors.
Is most of your work energy rating or home inspecting, or what's the percentage?
The bulk of it is ICBO inspections for new construction and energy ratings.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Veal. We also have in Homer Franco Venuti.
Yes, hi. I'm Franco Venuti, and I'm a certified combination dwelling inspector with the ICBO. I'm also a member of the FHA fee inspection panel, and I'm also a VA new housing inspector here in Homer. I've been working in the industry for the last 30 years. I perform new inspections to ICBL standards for Alaska Housing mortgaged program, mortgaged properties. I also perform inspections for buyers who are interested in existing properties. I need to concur with Ted here. We just recently got the revised bill, so we're really not up to speed on exactly what changes have been made. But I do have some questions. Will you be taking it? Do I have the opportunity to submit testimony in writing later?
Yes.
Mr. Venuti, I think that that's the intention of the committee. We wanted to get the public testimony today, and it looks like we're probably going to be taking this back up again probably on Friday. So if you could have a chance to review it, and this goes for anybody else who hasn't had an opportunity, you can fax your comments to 465-2293. Mr. Venuti, did you
yes.
have questions for the committee?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I'm very fortunate. My portion of the market doesn't involve too many unhappy customers. I'm a little concerned as to the intent of this hospital. I'm wondering, have there been many complaints that I'm not, I guess I don't understand that how many complaints there have been, and I'm also have some specific questions on the bill. Bear with me just a second.
Well,
I see the pre-inspection document requirement on line 19 of page 5. Would this apply to new construction with Alaska Housing? I'm also a little concerned about on page 7 in the general provisions, line 29 through 31. I've been working in the building industry for a number of years. I serve as an inspector, also as a contractor. I have in the past worked on properties that I have inspected. Typically, the scenario happens that I do the inspection, and then later down the line, because the owner knows that I'm pretty handy, I get to do some repairs on the property. I'm a little concerned about this 12-month period, and I don't think I'm alone on this, in that in many small towns in Alaska, there are many people who do exactly what I just described. I do agree with the 180-day provision on page 8, line 11. Other questions I have, how will this be financed? Who's going to pay for the cost of establishing this board, and how is that going to be financed through the state? Is this going to affect the bottom line for the homeowner? I'm always in business to I'm always looking for ways to improve my services, and I just don't see how this bill is going to really help my customers. I kind of think that the system works the way that it is, and I'm just wondering who's really going to gain from instituting this bill. I'm also a little concerned about duplicating the EBIT of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. They have some very clear rules that we follow in the work that I do for properties financed through them, and I'm a little concerned that maybe we'd be duplicating some effort here. I also have something of a question as far as the liabilities of inspectors. If I look at the the rules that I provided through Alaska Housing, there's a portion in it that talks about liability of the inspectors. And if I can read it to you, it says, in accordance with AS18.56.300C, a person may not bring an action for damages against an ICBO inspector who has inspected a residential unit unless the action is for damages caused by gross negligence or intentional misconduct of the inspector. Well, as I read that, it seems to me that this covers the intent of what this bill is trying to do. I probably have other questions I'd like to ask later. I do appreciate the opportunity to submit them in writing, but those are some of my concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Venuti, and we'll look forward to seeing your comments or testimony facts to us.
I do have one other question.
Okay, go ahead.
As this board is formulated, will the state be advertising for positions on this board, or will the members be appointed? And also, how do you apply to be on this board?
Well, I believe we'll have some testimony from the Director of Occupational Licensing that can address some of those questions. Representative Brookford, if you want to try to respond to some of Mr. Venuti's concerns.
A few of them. He brings up some interesting points. The you asked about who would be paying for it. The licensees would be paying for it, Mr. Venuti. That means, unfortunately, you. Whoever gets appointed to the board would be appointed by the governor that the board's created. And you do bring up an interesting point about most of the people you're even dealing with. Is certainly one thing, but in the larger urban areas of the state, most people don't have that home, small hometown knowledge. So the potential for boosting your own income in that capacity is certainly there, and I appreciate that. And I would say this, it appears some of your points about duplicating the efforts of Alaska Housing, I'd suggest that Alaska Housing is supportive of this bill and wants to see it put in place, because other than their regulatory scheme, there is no other control over the activities of the ICBO inspectors in the state. And Mr. Venuti, do you take any continuing education kind of classes or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, good. I'm sure there's a few other things. And I'd be happy to talk to you if you could get a hold of me at my office. I'd be happy to go talk to you, too.
Representative Brookford, one of the questions that I think was the first question that he asked was he wasn't entirely certain what was driving the need to establish it. And I know that Ms. Seitz had indicated that this all came about because there were some problems. And if you could just explain to the committee what the problems within the industry are.
Number one, there's... anybody can be a home inspector in this state, but not an ICBO inspector. These fellows from the outer areas that are doing work for Alaska Housing have to go through a program in which to receive their certifications. And but there's no organization other than Alaska Housing that does to administer over them. That's why they've requested that they be put into the bill, so we have an umbrella organization on home inspection and be able to regulate it in the state. The biggest area of problem is in the home inspection area, where there's absolutely no requirements whatsoever. Anybody, any one of us sitting at this table can go out and call ourselves a home inspector with no training whatsoever. And so there's no quality of, there's no oversight, there's no way that we can regulate the quality of the work that's being done throughout the state. The primary example I can give to you of why this really fits into the whole real estate transaction, the chain of events that goes around a real estate transaction, is this. An example that's come up, and what happened, home inspectors came about because of the disclosure form that the state legislature, and I think properly, put into place, where now when you sell a home, you have to disclose any defects with it. So people were concerned about making sure they had a full disclosure, that most homeowners don't even know if they have a broken problem sometimes. So if you hire an home inspector, you can t- take that home inspection report and fill out your disclosure form. And that way you don't have culpability if you fully disclosed any defect in your home. In the real estate industry, there was a lot of case law in the last couple of decades about who was liable for latent defects or defects they should have known about. So the real estate industry is very interested in this bill because it helps establish areas of responsibility and liability in the whole chain of a real estate transaction. And when you get the disgruntled home buyer, who they're pointing the finger at and who they're going to have to send their attorney after. This is the day in our litigious age, and so unfortunate. And so there's, I believe, a true fundamental need to regulate the activities of the home inspectors. Really, we need to be able to establish standards of practice that fit in and mesh with other regulated areas, the banks, the insurance companies, the lenders, the real estate brokers, and the real estate appraisers. And that leads to another issue. 2 years ago, Secretary Cuomo of HUD promulgated regulations that for a federal mortgage, you would have to have a real estate appraiser inspect the home. Now, real estate appraisers in the state of Alaska are a licensed occupation, but they're not trained as home inspectors. So here we had a federal regulation requiring an appraiser to do work that they're not even qualified to do. In fact, I've been in contact with Senator Stevens' office. We've got a moratorium on the enactment of this for the state of Alaska for some time. I need to double check back into that. Might be another one in Clinton-esque regulations we've got to get cleaned up. But that and then the growing, that just begged out for the implementation of a state regulation that we could go back to the federal government and say, hey, stay out of this business, one more thing. We need to be able to conduct our own regulations locally, adapt our methods, particularly in Alaska. You'll see in the bill there's provisions in here that people that do these types of things have to have at least some experience here in what happens in Arctic engineering and how you have building construction practices in the state of Alaska here, which are different in the South 48. Because of our climate and so forth. But there's just a litany of reasons why I think a very strong case can be made for the regulation of this industry. And that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Just out of curiosity, what cases can you cite of actual problems? I understand the global scope of what you're saying, but has there been any litigation on anything in relation to this field? I can wait till another time for that, but I'm just curious.
Well, there's been a number of uses of it, particularly in the realtor grievance procedure. There's dispute resolution procedures that the real estate industry has adopted that, in large part to try to stay out of court, where a number of the cases that have come before their grievance complaint committees have centered off on these things, and the shifting of liability is good. Quite frankly, the real estate industry wants this bill, but what you have to keep in mind as a member of the legislature, I think, and what I do, even though I am a realtor, is that in part the realtors want to shift liability. So always look for that, but always beware when people are trying to shift liability off themselves onto somebody else. So, but that's why this argument about the 1 year, the 180 days, and all that stuff really has, I'm going to tell you right now, is really at the root of this type of thing. I mean, how long is that report good for? It makes a big difference to them in terms of their practices. So, and I've been dealing with this. I've been a realtor for almost 30 years in the state, but I've never sold a house. So, I'm a commercial guy.
You don't need to be right.
Not a very good real estate agent.
I know someday I'll make a deal. Right?
Let's go ahead and finish up with those people that have been waiting patiently online. Robert Pankratz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Robert Pankratz. I'm a licensed ICBO inspector here in Homer. And as Ted and Franco indicated, we just got the working draft a few minutes ago, so I can't be specific. Just in general, my work is inspecting new construction for ICBO certification for Alaska Housing, and I have to say that I don't see a problem in that area at all. I don't think anything is broken there, and it seems to me that we're being thrown in to solve another problem with the existing home inspectors. Basically, that's all I have at this point. I need to go through the bill itself. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Pankratz, and we'll await your written testimony. I understand that we do have somebody online in Anchorage, Bill Brady.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just here to observe and just state, I guess, for the record, that the Alaska Association of Realtors, my name is Bill Brady. I am the president of the Alaska Association of Realtors. I am the chairman of the Anchorage Legislative Committee. We have worked closely with Representative Roeperg on this legislation, and I have sent a letter in from the state just saying that we agree in concept with this bill that there needs to be some minimum requirements with licensing, the testing, continuing education, and some liability. And the main thing is to set up their own board. They can start governing themselves and figure out how they want to regulate themselves and who needs to be brought into this process. So I guess I do want to make one comment in Representative Halpro. I have been a realtor just for a little over 6 years now, and the whole time that I've been in this business, I don't ever think that I've seen a client sue somebody where they didn't bring the realtor in because they have some liability there too. So I just want to assure him that we are named almost always in any type of suit, whether it's warranted or not. So it's not really a shifting of liability. I think it's a shifting of thinking that you have a new profession that has become very, for lack of a better word, popular in the last 4 to 5 years, where they're being brought into almost every home buying decision that a consumer is making. They are an important part of this process, and there needs to be some minimum standards for them. And I think that's just where it needs to go. I mean, I think you're protecting the consumer. I don't think the consumer at this point now, I think there have been lots of problems that with home inspections, but they have nowhere to go to have anybody listen to them. There is no body right now that governs home inspectors, and I think that's what this does. If there is a sanction against the home inspector, their board can pull their license or fine them or do sanctions to them. So I think that's a real important part of this. This home inspection bill does, it sets up their own board so they can govern themselves. Other than that, if you have some questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them for you.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. We did get your letter, and it has been included in the members' packet. Representative Roeperg.
Madam Chair, Bill, Representative Hayes asked the question before, looking for some examples of why there needs to be regulation. I mean, clearly you gave him a good response in terms of there's no if there's problems out there, but there's nobody to complain to, that's why we don't hear a lot of it. Could you give us an example of why we need to have this, and from your perspective, you think?
Well, I don't know if I can come up with specific instances of problems, but I think this is a two-edged sword. Not only does it protect the consumers, I think it protects the home inspectors, too.
What about the provision that they've been putting in their contracts that they're trying to limit their liability to the amount of the fee?
Well, I mean, that is one instance. I think that I hope that's basically gone away and definitely will go away with this bill. A lot of these home inspectors are trying to limit their liability to the price of a home inspection. Home inspections are ranging, let's just say, anywhere from $250 on up right now. $250 doesn't cover a whole lot in a house these days. Remember, this is a consumer is purchasing a house, and this is probably the biggest purchase they're going to make in their lifetime. And to have that limited to a $250 liability is just ludicrous in my view. Now remember the 180 days, I don't know if the 180 days or 12 months really matters in this. if a home inspector is been negligent or done fraudulent work, I think he falls under the same thing under law, that 6 years from that defect or the knowing of a fraudulent act, I think they can still be sued under that. So the problem that we have is, I know at the Anchorage Board of Realtors, we do mediations between members and members and clients. The problem we have is this would be a voluntary thing for a home inspector to come in, and they're just not willing to come in and do mediation over problems like this. You know, they could miss something that could be, $25,000, and that's really not going to help the consumer down the road, except go through a huge lawsuit probably, where if they had the ramifications go through a board and get some board help, maybe they can get the situation rectified a whole lot quicker.
Further questions, Mr. Brady. Representative Halcott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bill, let me ask you, with regards to the liability, have you seen a trend over the last few years where more and more of these cases are popping up and you're having home inspectors that have issued, you know, faulty reports and the home buyer has come back to seek some kind of compensation? Have you seen a growing trend in this?
Oh, absolutely. And they're not coming back on the home inspector first. They're calling now remember, there are two different people in a real estate transaction. You have a realtors that belong to a national organization, and then you have licensees. I mean, I think the consumers are coming back to both of those groups and coming back to the consumer or coming back to the home inspector to try to get the problem rectified. Representative Halpro, there are a lot of complaints being made these days, and I would say that they're probably increasing just because of the amount of home inspections that are being done now. Virtually, I would say that, I'd like to say 99.9% of the time home inspections are being done on a purchase of a home. I hope that's the case, because that's what, I have all my buyers, and even some of my sellers do home inspections up front, but they are not willing to do that. They sign a waiver saying that they had the opportunity to have a home inspection, and they waive that right, because I think it's a very big part of the transaction these days. This person is an expert on a home and goes through it a lot more than I am. I can go through a home and I can catch certain things, but I am definitely not qualified to the extent that these people are. And I think that's where it gets down to the meat of this bill, is who's qualified. I mean, I'm not qualified to do a home inspection, but tomorrow I can go get a license and start doing them. And I guess comments always been made, the market will weed those people out. That's not necessarily true. How long will it take to weed a person out, and how many people does that home inspector have to hurt before he gets weeded out of the system? If he hurts one person, that destroys their dream of owning a home, that's one person too many in my book.
In a follow-up, does the Board of Realtors have any kind of internal safeguards? For instance, you keep a list of those home inspectors that you know have performed shoddy work. Do you circulate that, or do you have anything like that?
Well, you come into a real kind of put us in a jam there, because if we did something like that, I mean, I think individual agents. And I think agents talk among themselves of who is trustworthy and who does good work. I personally will not have anybody do a home inspection that is not certified by one of the two national bodies, does not have liability insurance, and does not have E&O insurance. And I think that just protects them. I'm just not sure. I think that's where it needs to go.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. I need to confirm. We also have in Anchorage Karen Grafton. Are you online for House Bill 27?
70.
Okay. That was what I wanted to confirm. It's almost 5 o'clock, and so we're obviously not going to be taking up the sunset bill. There are three individuals that have signed up to testify here in Juneau on House Bill 27. Obviously, we're going to be taking this up later, but Mr. Bitney or Catherine, I think we're going to probably have you here for a while longer, but John, would you like to give your comments to the committee? And I apologize to those of you who have been very patient in waiting. You've now learned more about home inspectors than you would ever want to know. But
she just bought a home. She learned that she should have had one.
Thank you, and we'll try to get you up first thing on Friday.
Thank you.
Mr. Bitten, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is John Bitney. I work as the legislative liaison for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. I think the best thing to do is to get to where our involvement in the bill is just to kind of give a little bit of background. I'm here to speak in favor of the legislation, and we've spoken in favor of it in the past. We believe that it is a good attempt at trying to provide some consumer protection out there. The system right now is a little bit convoluted out there, and the reason we're in the bill is not necessarily one of choice. It's one of necessity, because Alaska Housing Finance is a creature of state statute, and currently we have in statute, as part of our statutes, a home inspection system that we are required by the law to use, and there's a reason for it being there. I've kind of heard the tongue and cheek expression that in the 80s, in order to be a contractor here, all you needed was a bag of nails and a flat rock. What happened was coming out of the 80s, there was a lot of concern in the state about the quality of inventory in the housing market out there, and the legislature at the time began to embark on some various measures to try to address that. One of the ones that they first did that I'm familiar with in 1989 was to require, as far as home builders' licensing requirements, some additional educational requirements for that. There were some other programs that were put in place, such as the Alaska Craftsman Program, as well as some attempts to get into energy raters and addressing energy efficiency issues in home construction. In 1992, when Alaska Housing went through a major merger, it was a piece of legislation that brought all of the state's housing functions for public housing, for rural loans, all under AHFC. And as part of that legislation, and with the concerns that had been ongoing at the time, the statute that was referenced in the discussion, 1856-300, was put into Alaska Housing Finance, which says that any home that was built after July 1st, 1992, in order to be financed by Alaska Housing, where we would purchase the mortgage, has to have been inspected by an individual who is certified by the International Conference of Building Officials, ICBO, which is an independent international trade association. It's not Alaska Housing. Since that time, what's happened is there's probably over 100 individuals across the entire state that have gone and gotten that certification. You've heard from a few of them today. And they perform inspections in order for us to comply with that statute. To clarify a little bit, when Representative Roekberg came up with the idea of, hey, we need to have some sort of a state, an overall state licensing system, what we requested was that if you're going to have a state licensing system, we think that you shouldn't have a dual system in state statute where you have state licensed inspectors out there performing and we're over here running a separate program. It seems to make sense that we would somehow try to combine the two of them together. Therefore, we got included into the title of the bill because our statutes are being amended. So there was a little bit of a perception problem today that somehow this only deals with Alaska Housing. That's not true. It deals with setting up a state licensing board. As part of that, we are included in part of the amendments in order to bring our, where we will recognize those inspectors as part of our process. I read the bill to say that ICBO, if you are ICBO certified, you are grandfathered in, and the board is required to set up a grandfather you or grant you some sort of a license. Then in the discussion, 6 months after the effective date of that, ICBO in our statute is removed. Our main concern is, and in talking with Representative Roekberg, I want to thank him for all the cooperation and coordination him and his staff have provided us. what we've been trying to get at is making sure that once a new system is put in place, that there is a construction standard that comes with it that is good. I mean, the result of having AHFC, if you will, have ICBOs out there, is I don't think that anyone can dispute that the quality of housing in the state has improved because of it. And that's a good thing, and we want to see something like that maintained. As Representative Roepberger said, the way the bill is created now, whatever construction standard that is used once the board is formed is up to the board, whether it's ICBO, whatever standard they're using for construction, it's UBC. I mean, there's an alphabet soup out there of various standards that the board could adopt. Our concern is to see that whatever that standard is, that it's a good one, that it's at least ICBO better, something that, you know, it's a good standard. And I think that is the concern that Mr. Brew was getting at as well. That led to our request also to be, if the bill isn't going to set that standard, our request was to at least be involved in the initial board with the sole intent and purpose on our part to be an advocate on that board for that initial period to get a standard established that not only that we're comfortable with, but one that we think is a good one. Because then 6 months later, we are subject to whatever standard that board adopts, and we would like to see that it be a good one. I think I'll stop there. I think I've kind of covered some of the things. The CS, as it's before you, addresses the concerns that we had. Our preference would be to see that adopt a standard, but the bill does allow the board to adopt that, and we will, as the CS is drafted, be a member of that initial board. And again, our intent there is to make sure that standard is a good one, and I do want to state that for the record, and I thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you, Mr. Binney. It helps to hear your testimony and see how AHFC does relate into it. I think you've probably cleared up some of the current concerns that were expressed earlier by individuals, so thank you. Questions of Mr. Binney?
Thank you.
Thank you. We also have signed up Amy Doherty with the Professional Design Council. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I am Amy Doherty. I'm here representing APDC, and actually you've been provided some a letter, which basically is our view on HB 27. We're glad that the exemption language is in there for engineers and architects. You know, our group has not been able to evaluate the CS, so I'm afraid I can't comment upon anything in there, but since it sounds like it's going to be held over, let's see if I can get them.
If you would like to submit your comments prior to Friday, that would be appreciated. Representative Roper.
Hey, Madam Chair, I just wanted to tell Amy to make sure the message you take back to your 5,000 strong membership is that the CS is actually better because it clarifies everything. It allows every engineer and architect in the state, not just civil engineers, to do home inspections if they sign off on it and have their liability of their stamp behind their signature.
Okay.
I mean, as I understand, it's even redundant the way we have it in there, the stamp and the signature.
Right.
And the standard of practice now is you sign it. But then they have to be liable for it, and then it's up to them and their how they conduct their business, whether with E&O insurance or without or whatever. But that was a very contentious area that's been resolved with this draft here. It's a lot simpler. And therefore, they should just make sure that they understand that anybody can do it now. You just got to sign it. The only ringer is that they can't call themselves home inspectors. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Doherty.
Thank you.
Catherine, you're the last person to sign up. Do you want to hold your testimony till Friday?
I'd be happy to, Madam Chair. May I just mention two items that perhaps people in the room would want to hear the answer to? For the record, my name is Catherine Reardon, Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing in the Department of Community and Economic Development, and my division would staff this new board and assist with the administration of this new law, and that's why I'm here. For the benefit of my other another board that I serve, which is the Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors Board, I just wanted to to make sure I was clear on one or two items. First is my understanding that they're entirely exempt engineers, architects. They don't need to hold home inspector licenses. That's how I read the bill, but I know there's been some confusion out there about whether they automatically qualify for the license or whether they are free of the bill. And my understanding is they're free of any necessity. Totally exempt. Just want to make sure everyone felt comfortable.
But if they do a home inspection, they have to stand by behind it.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, the other issue, perhaps for those other professions, would be what they can call themselves. The sponsor just referred to them not being able to call themselves home inspectors. I was a little bit unclear about that. It looked to me like they couldn't call themselves licensed home inspectors, but the exemption language seemed to exempt them from the prohibition against calling themselves home inspectors. And so I don't have an opinion there either way, but I wanted to, in case other people do have opinions on that topic, I wanted to tell you that it looked that way to me. And I could be wrong. The other thing that I want to comment on is that through that total exemption of the architects and the engineers, I would also assume that they are exempted from the items on page 7 involving liability, legal actions. So I'm assuming that page 7, line 13, where it says an individual can't bring an action for collection of compensation for a home inspection without proving they have a license, would not prevent engineers from taking such an action because they weren't compensated for a home inspection because they are exempt from the entire bill.
I just wanted to
make sure. Okay. And similarly, they could still be sued beyond 180 days for the content of their inspections because they're entirely out of bill. Okay. Those are the things that I just wanted to make sure everyone got to hear. And thank you. I'd be happy to be here. And I will give you written comments and the sponsor in advance.
Yes, Catherine, I'm just curious, is it normal for another group to request that another group comes into a board setting? Is that normal?
Through the chair, Representative Hayes, are you asking whether are you perceiving this situation as perhaps real estate licensees asking that home inspectors be licensed, and is that unusual?
Yes.
Generally, it's the profession itself that asks to be regulated. That is not always the case. Body piercers and tattooists, it was probably consumers. But generally, we hear from the industry profession itself.
Thank you.
Representative Burford.
Yeah, and they're kind of conspicuous by their absence today. I'm really kind of surprised, other than Mr. Brew. I've been working with the group of home inspectors all over the state for some time, and just let particularly the new members of the committee or people who haven't heard this bill before. This bill went through 2 years of hearings in the last legislature, and came to a screeching halt because I discovered when talking to home inspectors and real licensed real estate folks in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau, or let's say the South Central market, Fairbanks and Juneau, had a different, we kept talking to each other, but we were actually defining home inspections differently. And the jurisdictions in Juneau, for example, most of the home inspections are done by engineers here as well as in Fairbanks. So the exemption of the engineers, and that's a controversial point, frankly. I'd prefer not to exempt the engineers, but there are a number of them, particularly in these other areas, that are in the business of home inspectors. So. But that was a huge controversy, and what I found is even the real estate community, the Juneau real estate community, was hiring these engineers to do the work, and they were getting a different kind of a form and report, and it wasn't the same as like the Anchorage, Matsu, or Kenai area. And the Fairbanks area was a little bit different. So I just stopped the whole bill because we were talking about the same thing, and we weren't, and that's why it was causing a lot of controversy. And you're going to hear a little bit of controversy, particularly from the ICBO guys from the outlying areas, because they like life the way it is. But I would ask that, Madam Chair, through the Chair, Ms. Reardon, if you could speak to my office and massage that fiscal note a little bit here. It doubled from last year. Must be
indeed
the new budget environment around here.
Well, we'll be back visiting this on Friday. So we will hold things over until then. I'm not going to close out public testimony in the event that I think we may have more questions of Catherine. And we'll be getting in comments from those individuals that we heard from today that didn't have a chance to look at the draft, so I'll make sure that everyone has a copy of those prior to the meetings. And before we do that, though, we will take up occupational license, the sunset on occupational therapists, I guess, first thing on Friday. So with that, we're adjourned at 5:15.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. We got